Coming up next, we'll talk about what happens to returning vets who deserve benefits, but they're denied. We'll tell you how the military is operating with Joshua Kors from The Nation. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Wherever you are, however you happen to be listening, I'm delighted you're there. It wasn't until Friday that somebody tipped me off that this is a federal holiday, and I could have taken the day off.
I saw a face in the shower door.
No banks, no mail delivery today.
Came and faded.
But the Peter B. Collins Show is live as usual, and you're invited to participate toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Over the weekend, a little softening from the Bush administration, the president's radio address. He tipped his hand, followed by a comment from Secretary of HHS, I think that's Michael Levitt. And they say there's some wiggle room with the Congress. We'll talk about the debate over the S-CHIP bill and the veto by the president last week. Veronica Montoya will join us later this hour, policy director here in California for the Latino Coalition for a Healthy California. Your calls and comments wall-to-wall in the Free Speech Zone next hour. Joining me now is Joshua Kors, who writes for The Nation. And in May, if I'm correct, April or May, Joshua published a piece and introduced America to specialist John Towne. And John Towne served in Iraq. He was injured, including some hearing loss, some headaches, and some other medical complications. But the medical board that reviewed his condition declared that he had a pre-existing personality disorder, pre-existing before he put on a uniform, before he risked his life for Bush's misbegotten war and occupation in Iraq. Well, there's some good news coming out of this story, but a lot more work to be done. Joshua Kors, congratulations to you. You've made a little progress, particularly in your advocacy for Specialist Town.
Thanks, Peter. Well, you know, anybody who understands the story clearly knew that something had to change in his case, and I think everybody's glad that his case was fixed.
Well, and why don't we start there? Because he was on the rocks, his phone had been disconnected, he was financially underwater, and it appeared that things were going to get worse because he had been denied benefits and any kind of financial assistance, which I believe he richly deserved after his work and service in Iraq.
That's right. He had been struck by a rocket in Iraq and lost a significant portion of his hearing, was given the Purple Heart for those wounds. But then his doctor in the Army decided that his deafness was caused by personality disorder, and discharging him that way, they were able to prevent him from collecting disability or medical benefits for the rest of his life. And Peter, as we talked about last time, another provision in that personality disorder discharge is giving back your signing bonus so that, like thousands of wounded veterans, Towne found out on his final day in uniform he actually owed the Army several thousand dollars. This plunged him into debt along with difficulties trying to maintain a job being so sick.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the verge of bankruptcy. He had to shut off his phone. Finally, 8 months after he was discharged, after the press hubbub had started, the VA decided to take him in for a doctor's appointment, decided that indeed he was wounded in combat, as the Purple Heart would indicate, and decided that he was 100% disabled. They reversed his case, but it's worth noting that the Army still believes everything it had said about him, that his deafness was caused by personality disorder, and that it was still right to continue to deny him benefits.
Well, and I give credit to you, to The Nation magazine, ABC Television, and Bob Woodruff covered the story. And also Dave Matthews of the Dave Matthews Band started talking about this at concert stops along his spring tour. And that helped support the petition drive online that contributed to the attention to Specialist Town. But that means, what, we only have about 25,000 more cases to deal with, right?
That's right. In the past 6 years, 22,500 soldiers have been discharged with this personality disorder. We're talking about billions of dollars in saved disability and medical care. And Town is really just the tip of the tip of the iceberg, a case that was reversed because of my work with Bob Woodruff and because of rock star Dave Matthews talking about my reporting at each of his stops.
Mm-hmm.
Town is not satisfied with that, I should tell you. He's really become an advocate for this cause. But his work has been stifled by people like Surgeon General Gail Pollack, who has been very aggressive in trying to cover up this scandal. She told soldiers that she had given a 5-month thoughtful and thorough review to the personality disorder cases presented to her and decided that all of them were properly diagnosed. But with a touch more reporting, I found out that her office in those 5 months didn't speak to anybody, not even the soldiers whose cases she was reviewing. All they did do was go back to one of the doctors who made the false diagnoses and said, hey, did you get it right the first time?
Hmm.
The doctor said, yep, we did. And they shut down the review at that point.
Well,
they denied that for months. But eventually, the truth came out. And what was even more disturbing to soldiers was the person that Surgeon General Gail Pollack tapped to do this review. That was Colonel Stephen Knorr. He's the chief of behavioral health at Fort Carson, where Specialist Town was based. Knorr gained some fame earlier this year because a memo that he wrote leaked to the media. It was a memo posted on the office's bulletin board addressed to the doctors under his command. And it advised his doctors not to trust soldiers when they came to report their symptoms.
Yeah, what would they know?
It said, we're not so naive as to believe what soldiers tell us. He also advised his doctors to get rid of troubled soldiers quickly. As he put it, get rid of dead wood.
This is, it's adding insult to the injuries that these soldiers sustain. And when you wrap it all together with the unnecessary nature of this war, the way that Bush, particularly a guy who used the National Guard to dodge service in Vietnam so he could avoid combat, this time around he used the National Guard in a way that members and brass never imagined, with these incredible long tours and repeated tours of the war theater. And when you add all this up, the minimum we should expect is that any veteran who returns injured is going to be taken care of for the rest of his life. And we saw, Joshua, recently one of my contributors noted that one of the last veterans from World War I just passed away recently. So we need to look at a continuum of care for as long as 70 or 80 years for these veterans returning from Iraq. And many of them are being dealt this this Chapter 513 loophole, this phony diagnosis, which is a way that the military can save billions of dollars on health care liabilities and basically just throw away this dead wood, these soldiers who have been injured in the line of duty. It's disgusting and un-American.
There's no doubt about that. In this follow-up article, which will be published this coming week, I spoke with one doctor who said he was pressured by his superiors to purposely misdiagnose wounded soldiers. In our last article, we looked at Harvard professor Linda Bilmes' study regarding the finances here, quoted the disability and medical care they're saving at about $12.5 billion. He said with the soldiers he's seen at his hospital, if all of them were properly diagnosed, the cost of disability and medical care would be exponentially larger. As it is, so many of them are getting this fraudulent diagnosis of a pre-existing condition and are denied benefits. You speak about the PR effort. That's an important component as well. When a soldier is diagnosed with a pre-existing condition like personality disorder, they're not listed as wounded in war. And so the tens of thousands with this situation are simply wiped off the books and are not seen as any cost of Iraq or Afghanistan.
Yeah. I want to lift a couple of quotes here from your powerful article. It's in the October 15 edition of The Nation magazine, and it did arrive in my mailbox late last week, so it should be in the mails and in distribution now. You refer to this man who didn't want to be directly identified as Dr. Michael Chen. He had been serving in the Army for more than 30 years, and he's a psychiatrist. And he described his own building anger at being forced to adopt this diagnosis of pre-existing psychological conditions. You write, while serving at the Army hospital, Chen did diagnose personality disorder. But eventually the absurdity of the recommended diagnoses proved too much. The psychiatrist recalls one soldier who returned from Iraq with a massive hunk of his right calf missing. They thought he had personality disorder, Chen says, the anger suddenly palpable. Imagine, you get your leg blown off, you get a purple heart, and now they say it's from personality disorder. It's absurd. Frustrated, the psychiatrist approached the commanding general of the hospital. He says he met with him numerous times, but the pressure to misdiagnose continued. It's just criminal, he says. The doctor says that at his base, wounded soldiers were treated like broken appliances. When they no longer functioned, the command simply wanted to throw them out with a pre-existing condition. And it's appalling to me that my colleagues would go along with it. And does this violate the Hippocratic Oath in a very fundamental way, Joshua?
It does, but striking back at that avenue really is difficult for soldiers because of the Ferries Doctrine, a 1950 Supreme Court case, which says soldiers have no way to sue Army physicians. All they can do is complain to the state to try to get their license revoked. But in my experience over these past 12 months, that's been a dead end. They file the paperwork, and the state officials really never get back to them.
Yeah. We need to take a break. We'll return with Joshua Kors. He spells his last name K-O-R-S. And you can read it in The Nation magazine. Look for it at thenation.com. We'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, give us a call toll-free. It's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes into the hour. That line's available if you'd like to talk with me and journalist Joshua Kors. 888-5-PETER-B. Got that, Elvis?
Call Elvis. Call Elvis. Call Elvis. We're all alone. But he'll leave the building. I can get to the phone. Call Elvis. We're all alone. Well, come on, call it.
And Joshua Kors has uncovered this really incredible and outrageous procedure that some 22,500 returning Iraq and Afghanistan vets have had to face. And that is, they have serious injuries, but the medical boards that review them basically write them off and say, oh, that hearing loss, that headache from shrapnel, that, as we just described, that missing part of your calf, that's due to a pre-existing condition. And this is so, I mean, Orwell wouldn't even sit still for this. This is just ugly, evil, and a case of denial that's motivated by a desire to keep the costs of caring for these veterans low. And Joshua, as you have investigated and Specialist John Towne has gone to Washington, talk a little bit about Bob Filner and some of the others who have seized on this issue and are trying to do something about it.
Sure. Well, Congress has now jumped to action. Bob Filner read my articles and called for a congressional hearing. He's the chairman of the House's Veterans Affairs Committee.
And if he'd stop picking fights in airports, he'd be more effective.
Yes. Well, he called John Towne, who gave a passionate testimony about the struggles he's endured being denied disability and medical benefits after winning the Purple Heart. And at that hearing, the Surgeon General, Gail Pollack, was supposed to show. She declined the invitation. Instead, she sent her psychological consultant, Bruce Crow, who came there, and in the wake of these very serious allegations, all he had to say was, well, if this is true, boy, that's really bad. And the congressman looked down at him with sheer shock that was all he had to offer. Crow then went on to say that the Surgeon General had a solution to this, to engage in another review of cases, again without speaking to any of the soldiers personally. And at that point, Filner just boomed at him, said, don't you understand? That's how we got here in the first place. We didn't trust you with the first review, and you botched it. Now you think we're going to trust you with a second review, again, without even talking to the soldiers whose cases you were reviewing. And by the way, the Surgeon General, you should know this as well, her office had a fascinating explanation as to why they didn't want to speak to soldiers. They said that they didn't feel that the soldiers in 2007 would have any medically valid information to share about their discharges a year or 2 years earlier. As John Towne said to me, perhaps he would have known if he had been deaf before joining the Army. Perhaps his family would have noticed this lifelong condition.
Yeah.
But they weren't asked, so it didn't happen. Now
this is so surreal, Joshua. Aren't there detailed medical records for each soldier coming home? And don't they show that Specialist Town received this injury to the head, contact with a rocket?
They certainly do, and that's why he won the Purple Heart.
So how can they deny that, then? How can they deny that reality?
Yeah, more than that, all of the soldiers I've looked at in the 12 months I've been reporting on this story, all of them were cleared as perfectly healthy to join the Army and cleared yet again to go serve in Iraq. It's only when they come back wounded and seek benefits that the pre-existing condition is discovered.
Yeah.
Bob Filner's not the only one concerned about this. Barack Obama and conservative Republican Kit Bond in the Senate have both been working very aggressively to help these soldiers. And their efforts right now are stymied for one reason. There simply isn't enough public support. The congressmen haven't received phone calls from any of their constituents, and so their efforts are dying.
We've got a lot of activists here, so I just want to encourage you to contact Barack Obama. Kit Bond is a Republican from Missouri, and also Bob Filner, a Democrat from San Diego, and let them know.
It's not just them. It's the local representatives that should be contacted.
All right. Let's get a quick comment from Robin in Sacramento. Go ahead, Robin. You're on the air.
My God, Peter, this is insane. Who's at the root of this? I mean, who hands down this order? Is it Rumsfeld?
Well, he's gone now, but it could have been on his watch. Joshua, a quick answer?
Right now, we don't know. The hearing was supposed to draw details like that, and really those pieces of information didn't come forward.
All right, that's all the time I have for this story, but thank you very much, Joshua. Thanks for your additional reporting, and we'll look forward to the next installment in The Nation.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, that's Joshua Kors. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.